Welcome back to our series in the early chapters of the book of Genesis. I'm only going to say that two more times, I think, at least in the near future. We've been studying in the book of Genesis since January, and this study is through the first 11 chapters of the Bible, the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis, leading up to the call of Abraham. And we have two more Sundays in this series. And today, our last look at the story of Noah. We've kind of been in a series within the series about Noah's life and times, and I believe we've had nine Sundays that we have focused on the story of Noah and things about his life. And he's one of the many fascinating and real people of history and men of the Bible. And from his life and story are all kinds of things for us to think about, to wonder about, to study about, to say, God, what do you want to speak to my heart and my life about? In this series, and as always, I believe that every story in the Bible has something to say to us. Every part of Scripture has some value that God was pleased to include it in the Scriptures, and sometimes it's a matter of us being diligent enough to wait on God's Spirit and say, God, what do you want to say to me? And certainly some stories just become alive and speak to us. And I think there's some things about Noah that I feel that way. Well, we began this series on Noah by looking at the pain in God's heart and realizing that in Genesis chapter 6, the Lord was grieved that he made man on the earth and his heart was filled with pain. And we looked at what it meant that God's heart was filled with pain. I think this verse and this part of the story is a very important part of the Bible. And I think it's good, very good, for people to understand this. I think it's good for us to be reminded of it. And I think it's good to understand from a worldview that believes in the authority of God to understand what happened in Genesis chapter 6. And that somehow an infinite, awesome God's heart was filled with pain. And that set in motion a number of decisions that God made that intersected the life of Noah and world history. And then we moved from considering the pain in God's heart to the story of Noah himself, and that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord in the midst of the generation of people who had become so evil and offensive in the eyes of God. There was one man we know of, his name was Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he became the person of God's favor. And somehow this man, Noah, that lived so long ago, was able to minister, if you want to use that term, to the heart of God. His name means to comfort. Somehow Noah himself comforted the same God whose heart was filled with pain. And we realize from that both you and I have the capacity to bring pain to the heart of God or to bring comfort. I know that seems like a lot to think about, an infinite, awesome God and us little tiny people on planet Earth. But somehow, the story of Noah in the Bible affirms to us that we have the capacity to either please God and to bring comfort to Him and bring relationship to Him, or to fill His heart with pain. That's how important you are to God. That's how important you are made in the image of God, that you have, God's allowed you individually, every person, that capacity to create pain or to bless God. And then we looked at the ark. The ark was God's provision of mercy, and how God made a plan to save mankind in the animal kingdom. His plan was preservation, to preserve, to give a new beginning, a new hope. And so on that ark, God planned to a future. And so not only was there the provision of God's mercy, but the preservation of a future and a hope, the animal kingdom and mankind, a hope and a future. And today's story, I think today as we finish out Noah, is a story about the future, that God has a plan for the future. And yet Noah had to go through a terrible, monumental, if that's the right word to use, storm in his life, and that God tells us that we're going to have storms in our lives and to be persevering through life's journeys. All of us go through storms and go through difficult times, and Noah's story was a reminder of how they had on that boat 375 days in order to not know what was going to happen and to persevere. And sometimes we've got to do that too as God's people. We've got to hold on. We've got to believe. We've got to hold on to our faith and trust God. And sometimes persevering through the storm, the only thing we can say about it is we have to trust and we have to wait. And Noah's story is certainly about that. And this morning, in this last in the series, I want to focus on the promise of life and the promise of God, a hope, a covenant, and especially today I want to focus on a rainbow, God's promise of life and life eternal. If you have your Bible and you want to read with me, turn to Genesis chapter 9, verse 7. Genesis chapter 9, verse 7, and we're going to read through verse 17. God's promise of life. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number. Multiply on the earth and increase upon it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off from the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all of life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all of life on the earth. When we think of the rainbow, we should think of the word covenant. Covenant means a promise. And God made a promise after the flood. We know that when Noah came out of the ark after being there some 375 days, the first recorded act of Noah when he came out of the boat, when he came out of the ark, was to build an altar and to worship God. We talked about last week how significant that was, that Noah's first act was not just to celebrate that he was off the boat. It wasn't to come out and do any number of things that you thought he might have did, but his first response was to give praise to God. His heart was right. And because Noah's heart was right, what he did was pleasing to God. God was pleased with him. And we know that God responded to this act of Noah's worship. He responded to this desire of Noah to praise God. God was very pleased, and after Noah did that, then we hear the words, never again. God says, never again will I do what I've done already. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again. There was something about the actions of Noah that changed the course of what God was going to do. Well, we think that. We know that because of what Noah did, it affected what God did. And I think it's reasonable as you look at the story and you kind of read between the lines that part of the reason why God made the promise he did was because of who Noah was and what he did. And so God says, I want to give you a sign. I want to make a promise to you. I am going to pledge myself to you that I never again will do what I did in the days of Noah. And so he gave a reminder, a sign for all of creation to see, a rainbow. And what a sign it is, what a beautiful sign of the hand of God. Not just to man, but the rainbow is a sign to every creature, to the birds that fly through the sky and for the animals who have eyes and can see. God made a promise and made a pledge to them. It's a one-way promise, a one-way covenant. This is one of those covenants, and there are others in the Scriptures where God says, I promise to do this no matter what. You don't have to do anything. I am promising you that I will never destroy life again with a worldwide flood. God makes this covenant. And the rainbow reminds God and us of His promise. He says here that when I see the rainbow in the text, not when you see the rainbow, but God said, when I see the rainbow, I will remember the promise that I have made to you. And also, the rainbow is an opportunity for us to see the promise of God. Every time we see a rainbow, it should remind us of a God who keeps His word, a God who keeps His promise. I mean, you might be thinking, I'm not so worried about a worldwide flood. I mean, we have local flooding, but, you know, we live in Pennsylvania. We can get to the hills. I'm not too worried about a worldwide flood, but the rainbow reminds me of God's faithfulness all the time. Every promise He makes in Scripture, God will keep. There isn't anything that you've read about a promise of God that God will not honor. God keeps His promises. And the rainbow is a reminder of a kind of God who always keeps His promises. The rainbow is the first of many promises that God extends to us, the human race. Some people say that Noah's covenant, or the covenant with Noah, is the first of about 8 covenants or promises that God makes. I mean, God makes dozens and dozens and dozens of promises to us, but covenant relationships where God says, today I'm making a pledge to you. Today I am extending myself to you. God does that for Noah and all the animals, and then He continues to make His promises to each one of us, made in His image over time. Well, the rainbow is a reminder that God cares deeply about our future. Something else about a rainbow, it's a reminder that God cares about our future. God is thinking about your future. God cares about your future. I said a couple of weeks ago that your past is one thing, and God cares about that, but it's your future that God is looking at. And He cares deeply about the decisions you make and the authority in your heart about God. God cares about your future. Your future is on His mind and in His heart. That's why He says never again. Never again is about the future. Never again is about what I'm going to do tomorrow. Well, let's look at some pictures of rainbows this morning. There is nothing quite like seeing a rainbow. They are inspiring. I don't know. This picture is a lot better than that one. If you ever turned around and looked at this screen, you know what I mean. But I want to show you some pictures of rainbows this morning. I don't know if any of you have been privileged enough to catch a rainbow on your camera. Anybody like that has gotten a good rainbow picture? If you have, would you send it to me? I would like to see some people who have taken pictures of rainbows. Rainbows are inspiring. They're awesome. I think they're fun. I know that that a picture, a camera, doesn't do justice to rainbows, but these are some pictures, and of course, some of them could be Photoshopped. I don't know, but I just pulled them off the internet. You know, I've read that rainbows are made up of at least 1 million colors, but only 7 of them are visible to the eye. Between those 7 colors, 1 million, I don't know how they've been able to determine that with the equipment and the technology today, but 1 million colors in the rainbow, that we can only see 7 of them. Just imagine the spectacular variety of God's creation just in the area of colors. You know, we see a color, we have a favorite, we like this, we like that, a new one comes out. Like every year, cars are made with some new weird color, you know, but imagine the richness of the Creator just in the area of rainbow. I've talked about the richness of the creation of God in the animal kingdom and the sea life and the birds and all the kinds of life and the variety of people, how different and unique every single one of us are. But here's another one, just to think about the variety of the rainbow and what God has made in colors that we can see. Like I said, we can see about 7 of the colors in the rainbow, but some scientists or ornithologists, if you will, believe that birds can see probably hundreds of colors. I don't know how they know that and where they get that from, but I've read that different animals, different eyes, and are able to see probably far more than we do. I've also read that every angle of a rainbow, you see something different. So if you're standing by somebody here and they see the rainbow and you're watching the rainbow, you don't see the same thing. It's kind of hard to know, again, how you know that, but it's because of how the light is reflected. It's not the same angle any direction it goes out. And so even the rainbows that we see have great variety in them. And light is passing through droplets of water in order to produce a rainbow. And when you have mist or you have fog or you have rain coming down and the sun hits it at a specific angle, and it's a 42-degree angle, the sun hits it and then light is reflected in a certain direction. But it's just fascinating to think of the variety of rainbows that are out there and why God would choose a sign like this. Well, I do believe that God, on the first day of creation, created rainbows. I know that God, in His infinite creativity and imagination, somehow brought together the science of light and water and created something that's so beautiful. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, if you just think about that verse, it says, "And God said there was light, and there was light, and He separated the light from the darkness, and it was the first day." You realize that God created light on the first day. And what all He created in light, I'm sure scientists are only beginning to imagine. The infiniteness of light. And its beauty and its wonder. And the rainbow to me is just one of the many spectacular things that God created about light. Somehow, the verse before says that the world was in kind of chaos and the Spirit of God hovered over the waters, the face of the deep. And then His first act was to create light. It was to separate light from dark. So God created this amazingly, infinitely marvelous science of light. And rainbows are a product of that. God is described as light. We read of the physical descriptions of an infinite God. One of them is light. And He gives a special promise through light. You think, well, why would God choose the rainbow for this covenant, for this promise? Well, light is very special and important to God. God's expressing Himself in the rainbow. There's something about the nature of God and that maybe someday we'll fully see and understand, but He's expressing something about Himself. Rainbows are created by God. And then in Genesis chapter 9, they're given meaning by God. Already had been created, but in Genesis chapter 9, then we have God giving meaning to the rainbow and the expression of a sign that will be for all of time to remind us of His character. What a beautiful sign. I know that you probably know, and we probably should not be surprised that there's another group who's taken the rainbow and turned it into another symbol, another sign. And we probably should not be shocked at that and surprised by that. You may know that the rainbow is a symbol of the gay and lesbian community. And I know when I first heard that, how heartbroken I was, and I still am. And I realized that we shouldn't be surprised by that. Why not? Because we live in spiritual warfare. And because exactly what God wants for good and uses for good, Satan's going to try to use in spiritual warfare for something that's negative and sinful. And again, you think of the power of the promise of God. You think of the light and the rainbow and the beauty of it and the wonder of it. And you realize that's a good picture of who Satan is. He's going to try to take something and he's going to try to deceive. And he's going to try to take away from the spectacular nature of the promises of God. But rainbows should always remind us of the faithfulness of God. The faithfulness of God. Every time we see a rainbow, what I hope would pop into your mind is the faithfulness of God. How God keeps His promises in this beautiful Creator. And how He can bring together something that's so beautiful to us, even with our human eyes, and understand what it may be someday when we get to heaven. And we see things as God has created them. That is amazing. And in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, we read again of the presence of a rainbow. Revelation chapter 4 says, "And there before me in a throne of heaven, a rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne." So somehow we have not only the creation of the rainbow in the third verse of the Bible in the book of Genesis and given meaning in chapter 9, but in the last book of the Bible, where do we see the rainbow? We see it covering the throne of God. Just imagine how spectacular and beautiful that's going to be. I'm also reminded of the scripture that says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those that love Him. As beautiful as the rainbow is, I think it's probably just we just see a little bit of the beauty and the wonder of what God's prepared in heaven. And so the rainbow reminds me of the future, reminds me of the hand of God, that God is revealing Himself. The rainbow does not change the heart of man, but is the promise of God, even in the midst of the heart of man. And so God said, never again. It's not because when they came off the boat and Noah came out that God said, okay, we're starting again. There'll be no more sin, no more problems. God knew otherwise. God knew that very quickly, within a generation, the heart of man would then be completely turned away from God. It's not because Noah was such a great man. It's not because there was this promise that there would be no more Adam and Eve, no more Garden of Eden, no more serpent. God knew that, but He said, I'm going to handle it different. I'm going to treat it different. In fact, in chapter 8, God acknowledges the ongoing. He says in chapter 8, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in His heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man. Even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood, God said, I'm not going to handle it the same way. I'm not going to handle evil the same way. Man's heart will always and still be evil, but I will respond differently. And so God gives the promise. He gives the rainbow. He gives the pledge. He pledges Himself to restore, to redeem, to rebuild the broken relationship with man. That's the beauty of the rainbow. It's God saying, I'm going to do it different in the future. And the rest of the Bible, from Genesis chapter 9 on, is God reaching out to restore the broken relationship with a heart of man that's inclined to evil. The rest of the Bible is God's response and pledge and covenant about the broken relationship. The rainbow is about broken relationship. It's about who we are before God. Covenant is such an important word to understand God's heart and understand the Scripture. This is a covenant book between God and man. We think of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Testament, the New Covenant. This is the covenant book. God is promising a future to us. And then you have these series of stories through the Bible of covenant. Go to that sign, that slide that has the five pictures on it, would you, Nate? And we have God's covenant promises, starting with Noah, and this story of God making His promise to us. And then there's the story of Abraham, and God has revealed Himself to Abraham. And then God continues to the Old Testament to reveal Himself to Moses, and He gives the law to God's people. And then from Moses to King David. Thank you, there it is. But each of these pictures are part of these covenants that I mentioned earlier. And they're progressive. God is progressively revealing Himself, first through a rainbow and a promise, and then to one man named Abraham, and then to the descendants of Abraham, to Moses and the people of Israel. Again, God is speaking to them and giving them His Torah, His law, His love, His relationship, and finally leading up to the covenant in Jesus. And Jesus coming and taking on the body of a man and taking on the flesh of a man. And then we have the covenant of God's grace. The covenant of God's grace, where He sent His only Son to die for our sins. The covenant. See, God is revealing Himself from the rainbow on in the Bible. Is God showing that He's not going to deal with sin like He did in the days of Noah. It's something different. In the days of Noah, there was mercy. There was mercy for Noah and seven others, and there was great judgment. And God says there will be judgment in the end, but there's also mercy extended. And the rest of the Bible is God extending His mercy, extending the covenant, extending the promises, extending the rainbow for each one of us because He loves us so much. The covenant of God culminates finally in the gift of eternal life. The rainbow's the beginning of a great promise. And when we step into eternity, the rainbow
You want to think about the rainbow and from one end to the other. Think about the rainbow like this. The rainbow in the beginning is the promise that God has a future for us. The end of the rainbow is when we step into eternity and to the gift of eternal life. The rainbow truly is a symbol of the progression of the love of God and how He's reaching out to every one of us. In some ways, the end of the story of Noah to me has this rainbow attached to it, all the way to the book of Revelation, and how God promises us a hope and a future and an eternity. That's a lot for us to think about and celebrate the life of Noah. So we should enjoy the rainbow. We should understand how it signifies for us the promises of God and the wonders of God. I hope you'll enjoy some rainbows. If you have time and you can look at some, there's some fascinating pictures. Some of them just look too wild to be true. They just look like they can't be real, but maybe they are. That the rainbow is the promise of God. He loves you. He cares about you. And He knows about the sin in your heart. He knows about your life and your past. And He gives you a rainbow to say that I'm going to handle it different than I did in the days of Noah. Well, one more thing about rainbows before we finish this morning. For those that are interested, I also read this week that you can make your own rainbow. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to make a rainbow, but I want to tell you in four easy steps how you can make your own rainbow. Number one is you have to go outside and turn opposite to the sun. Okay? You do that. So go outside, look at the sun, put your back to the sun. Number two, you need to turn on the hose or sprinkler. All right? You with me so far? Number three is you spray water at a 42-degree angle away from the shadow of your head. Now, I practiced this yesterday. And number four, if you get all this right, enjoy the wonder of God's creation and the reminder that God's rainbow is for you. You know, I'm going to try that with the kids over on Wednesday night. We'll have a lot of water. It's supposed to be 93 degrees, so I'm going to try to make some rainbows. The rainbow is a reminder of the wonder of God. I hope you'll cherish the promises of God and His relationship with you. Thanks for being here this morning. I'm extending my pledge to you about my preaching next week. No more than 5 minutes. And if you sit halfway to the front or further, I won't preach more than 5 minutes the next Sunday either. All right? Have a good day. Goodbye.